Well, we thank the Lord tonight for the true fact that God loves us. The fact that He cares about us, cares about our welfare. I'm glad the Lord tonight cares about our stability, our strength. I'm glad He wants us to be strong. God wants us to stay on the straight and the narrow way. I'm glad tonight to know Him and the power of His salvation and His love. Aren't you? It's a wonderful thing. Tonight I want us to consider what we want to do. What do you want to do? What do I want to do? And you may not have thought about it before, but that's a very critical matter. Because wherein what we want to do and what we are doing, and when there's a conflict there, that causes a lot of strife and that causes instability. That brings unhappiness, and that can bring discouragement. So tonight, we ask ourselves the question, what do you really want to do? Do you really want to go to heaven? Do you really want to love the world? Do you really want to serve the Lord? Or do you really want to serve the flesh? Is there a conflict between what you want to do and what you ought to do? That's a very important thought. To recognize that when you and I know we are responsible for our conduct, for our actions, and our thoughts, and that there is a godly, divine criteria to how you and me should behave and how we should live, and then if there's something eating within us that says, but I don't want to do that, I want to serve the flesh, or I want to be contrary to that, knowing that we're responsible for something and failing to do that causes conflict. Lord, help us tonight to recognize God's got some answers for you and for me. The Bible teaches us in James that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. When a man's ways are twofold and threefold, and when his mind is in conflict with itself and with God and responsibility and the lust of the flesh, that produces an instability, and it shows up in various places in one's life. It shows up in the home. It shows up in their service to God, or lack thereof. It has a real effect on whether someone is happy in life, fulfilled in life, where someone has confidence with God or not, a double-minded man. Tonight, we still ask the question, what do you really want to do? You know, we need to come to those choices in life. We need to be honest with ourselves. We need to recognize that there can be, and possibly is among some here tonight, a warfare between what I ought to do and what I know is the responsible and the right thing to do, and yet a yearning or a craving or an appetite deep down that causes me to want to do contrary in something else. Sometimes we can say, well, children, obey your parents in the Lord. We know we ought to do that. We know that's the right thing to do and the responsible thing to do. Yet how many times do we see conflicts arise in the home and the community because a child chooses, I want to do something else? So there's a real purpose tonight in you and me examining, what do I really want to do? Settle the course and settle the question. Affirm to ourselves that I want to serve God. I truly want to live for God. To see the value of it, the strength of it, and the stability of it. To see the benefits of salvation and to delight ourselves in that. Our mind cannot serve, and ourselves cannot serve two masters. It always causes a tearing, and it creates a conflict. And we can be raised ever so carefully, and we can know the proper words, and we can know the proper way to live. We can know about modesty and shamefacedness. We can know about love and turning the other cheek. And through self-discipline, we can produce that in the flesh, many times, a lot of the times. But yet that does not in any way stop the anger or the lust or the reaching out and antagonism that goes on in the heart of man when we really have not settled it that I want to live for the Lord and live godly, soberly, and righteously. And see the value of it, to see the purpose of it, to see the reason of it, to see the benefits of it. God wants us tonight to be able to settle the question. For me in my house, for myself, my heart, I have made a decision. I truly want to go to heaven. I truly want to live in such a way that I will be accepted by Christ. I truly want to have my name enrolled in God's book of life. Therefore, I want to conduct my life, not in the flesh, like we heard last night, but I want to conduct it under the leadership and the anointing and the love of God, to have His holiness reign in me, to have my affections set on things above and not on things of the earth, to recognize and know that we're here for a period, a short period, and then we will, every one of us, go to our long home. And at that point, I really want to go to my long home, being in heaven. So tonight, let's consider the thought, what do you want to do? What are you really craving for tonight? Where is your heart set on? What are your affections set on? What's truly important? Is it this world? Is it your name? Is it fame? Is it prosperity? Is it the trinkets, the toys, the entertainment of the world? Is it on someone or someone else? Is it on marriage? Is it, what are we really seeking after? Because I know you have found this. Once we have decided and set our mind on something, it's never far from us. Oh, we might move away from it a little bit, but after a while it comes back and reminds us of that hunger, of that unfulfilled desire. And when we recognize that is in contrast to what we want to do, it causes troubles. It causes anxieties. It causes you and me then to feel like we're torn, and indeed we are, between two opinions and halting and not really able to make a critical decision that this is the way, and this is the way I want to live, and this is the way I want to walk. We forfeit peace when our mind is double-minded. We forfeit peace when our heart is torn between the affections to God or our responsibility to God, and yet we have an affection to the flesh, to self-life, and wanting to live to the world. And that's what we want to, Lord, help us tonight to be able to see the ills of that and then see the positive, beautiful effects of settling it in our hearts. For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I've settled the question. Without a doubt, I want to go and be the Lord's. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that walk after the Spirit. We want to find that way that keeps our heart free, our heart light. Therefore, there's no condemnation. When I need God, I don't have to try to pray around sin or pray around the lust of the flesh or the pride of life. I don't have to try to go and correct a lot of things that being double-minded has created. But I'm able to come boldly to the throne of grace in an emergency, in the middle of the night, when the telephone rings or when a child is sick, able to come immediately, spontaneously to the Lord, and without the knowledge that my mind has been over here and my affections are set over here, and I'm not sure I really want to go this way yet. I desperately need the Lord. Double-minded man, someone that has not had it settled in their heart, is extremely unstable. You could add unhappy to that. You could add different adjectives to that. So tonight, I'm reminded of something Brother Clifford Wilson used to say from time to time during the course of life and the conflicts that come up and the decisions that come up. He would tell the folks and tell us, he'd say, check your affections or check your love. Find out what you really care about, what's really important. Now, Obviously, there are things that the preacher would say that's mighty important and vital. There are things that obviously the Bible says is paramount, must-dos, and you can't live and go to heaven without it. But do you know every one of us have things that are the most important to us? And it's important that we know what they are. If they're not right, if they're in conflict to God's Word, we still need to know that. We need to know what draws us. We need to know what affects us. We need to know what we respond to. We need to know what is dictating and guiding our life. Then we can have a knowledge of where the answer lies, where the problem is. So many times people are guided by the lust of the flesh, and that's any inordinate affection, any pride, anything that comes up, and they're not able to recognize their responses are not coming from where they should, but they're coming from a selfish life. And then they have the conflicts. Then they have the anger. Then they have the hurt feelings. And they want to transpose that responsibility on someone else. A child transposes it on mom or dad. They're unfair. They're not right. But when really the problem lies in a child's selfishness and disobedience, that's the problem. But yet the child or the person, the adult, fails or refuses to identify what's really causing the problem. It's because their mind, their heart, their affections are set on something other than what's proper, what's right, perhaps what's pure. The Lord said in Matthew 22 and 37. It's a wonderful guide to life from the words of the Lord, the Word of God. It's so easy to read. And I believe it's rather easy to understand. But don't we all at times find a conflict there? Jesus said unto him, said, what's the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love thy God, the Lord thy God, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. When we begin to consider the whole of something, and we begin to recognize that that whole is occupied by one force, one authority, one standard, then everything that comes forth from that cannot be anything but like that which occupies it. So it does us well tonight to see what occupies the affections and the love of our life. What's really important to us. Because we will find that that is why we do what we do. We will find that when that is in conflict to the right way and the responsible way, then we'll find that ills and conflicts and unhappiness are generated out of that. The qualifying thing that the Lord said is the greatest of all things. And I would encourage us, each one tonight, to set that before us. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. I would encourage us tonight to set that as the goal and the mark before us. Set that above everything else. Measure all of your feelings and your emotions. Measure everything by the fact the true way, the godly way, the holy way, the God-expected way, the way that Christ said is the greatest of all the commandments, is to love the Lord with every resource we have, every mind, every heart, every part of our affections, everything that constitutes who we are, our bodies, a living sacrifice, holy, dedicated to the Lord, given over to Him. Set that as a goal in your life. Are you there yet? You may be, you may not be. But set that as the place that you realize where the true happiness, where true fulfillment, where true stability, where the right guidance and the leadership comes from. The safety of your walk can be assured when you set this before you. I will love the Lord, my God, with all my heart, soul, mind, and body. That is a safe way. That is a secure way. That is a way you can go forth with confidence and not be afraid. That causes you and me to not having to always flip coins in life and halting between two opinions. That helps you and me to be able to say no when something comes against loving the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind. When you and me come to a place that violates what we have set as the standard of our heart, what we have incorporated as our guide, no. One time they suggested to Faith Stewart, the assembly that sent her, paying her way in the gospel work, and they wanted her to make some changes. And I don't remember all those changes, but she wrote back to them and said, No, 1,000 times no. We cannot do that if we're double-minded, if we have not got the matters settled in our life. If our affections are double-minded, if our affections are torn and halting between two opinions. So Jesus said to us, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with everything we have. I want to encourage you to seek after that. Want that and desire that. The Lord teaches us to count cost. The Lord teaches us to weigh things in the balance. We need to recognize tonight that the Word of God's promises, the benefits, and the actual blessings, I'll say, of life come when you and me follow that which is right. And we need to recognize, this is what I want to do. I want to love the Lord. Settle that in your mind. And then when the conflicts come, you already know which way. What's the right way? What's the proper way? What is going to get me to where I want to go? Do you want to go to heaven? Do you want to have a good home? Do you want to walk at peace with your fellow man? Do you want to have a good name that is better than gold and all the riches of the world? Do you want your name enrolled in the book of life? What's it going to take to have that? What's it going to take to maintain that? What's it going to take to please the one who puts it there and can remove it? It's to love him with all everything we have and all our heart. Jesus was talking to his disciples. In particular, he was speaking to Peter in the 21st chapter of John. And he asked Peter a question. And I know there's a lot of different answers you might think of and thoughts that you can draw from this. But he asked Peter, I believe it was 3 times, lovest thou me more than these? Now, it's interesting to me because, one, the Lord already knew. Two, generally, one answer is sufficient. And three, it's not necessarily good manners just to keep on asking somebody. Why did he ask him 3 times? Do you think it was for Christ's sake he asked that? I don't think so. I think it was for emphasis, for one thing. Peter, I want you to really consider what I'm asking you. Have you really thought about what I'm saying to you? Do you love me, Peter? Yes, Lord. Peter, think about that a while. Do you love me, Lord? Yes. Peter, do you love me? He wanted Peter to understand and wants you and me to understand the necessity and the gravity of having an affirmative answer to, I love the Lord. I want to serve the Lord. I want to do His will. I want to be faithful to Him. I want Him to be the winner of my path. I want Him to be my guide even unto death. I want to please Him, and I want to enjoy those things that He has for me. So he asked Peter 3 times. I believe the Lord wants to ask us tonight for emphasis. Who do we really love? What do you really want to do? Who do you really want to serve? Who are you serving? And is there conflicts in your life? Is there conflicts in your life because of a knowledge of who I ought and who I am? Serving? Is there a conflict because in your heart, in your life, you recognize I need to do the right thing. I need to turn from evil. I need to keep myself unspotted from the world. I need to own and own. And yet in my heart and in my life, it's not true. There's still an appetite. There's still a feeling. There are still events. There are still actions. There are still words that conflict with what I truly want to do. The Lord told you and me, said He would keep us in perfect peace in whose minds are stayed on Him. May the Lord help us tonight if we don't have peace that passes understanding. If we're failing to have the joy of the Lord be in our strength. I would ask us tonight, as Brother Clifford of old said, check your affections. Check your love. What's really important? Are you halting between that which you know you should and ought to do and yet what the flesh is asking of you? Three times he asked Peter, and I believe part of it was for emphasis. He wanted Peter to see the gravity and the importance of serving him and loving him more than anything else that was around, more than anything else that might occur in Peter's ministry. You and me are called to be a light. We are called to be the salt of the earth. Is there anything more important to you than serving God? If that be the case, and yet while you want to serve God, and you're still wanting to do this other, that creates a stress. That creates a battle. That creates an unstableness. And the Lord tonight is wanting to heal us. He sent His word to heal him. The Lord wants to come and rectify and make well. He wants to set us on the highway of holiness and establish our ways. He wants to be the guide and the comfort and our peace. And yet, till we come to a place, Lord, I love you above all things. You're more important to me than all of these things that have occurred and do occur to me. Over in Romans 10, Romans 10 and 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Righteousness in our life, being in right standing before God, is a decision that is a result of a heart's choice, not of the flesh. It is a decision that from my heart I am going to serve the Lord. I am going to live for Him. I want to live for Him. I am going to do whatever is necessary to obtain the right standing between me and God. Brother Ed preached to us, I believe yesterday, of the value of repentance and what a wonderful avenue it is. What a wonderful opportunity. In fact, he told us that that's all we can ever do to rectify the sin and the waywardness and the double-mindedness in our life, is to come to the Lord and repent for our waywardness, for our appetite in the wrong direction, for following in the wrong pathway, and making a choice from our heart. And righteousness is a product of making the right choice, of setting the right goal of Jesus Christ in before us, by putting aside everything and all other things as subservient to my one goal, and that is to love the Lord with every fiber, everything that I am, I want to love. You want to love the Lord. And he said, with that, with the heart, with those affections set on Christ, we can then have faith. We can have the courage to repent. We can have the courage to say, yes, Lord, I'm sorry for following and listening to and letting other influences guide me more than you. I believe that you will forgive me and you will save me and you will establish my goings and you'll set my feet on a solid rock. Tonight, the Lord wants you and me not to be double-minded, but He wants us to be stable. He wants us to understand the joy, the peace, the harmony that exists between God and His church, God and His person, people. And He wants you and me, everyone, to enjoy that, to be a partakers of it, to taste and see it's good, it's beautiful, it's rich, and it's settled. The battle's over. The conflict's over. Part of the definition of peace is the absence of warfare. Tonight, if you have that warfare, God offers you peace through the Lord Jesus Christ. So we find that righteousness, and I would say tonight, because we're here, every one of us are interested in righteousness. Every one of us are interested in right standing before God. Every one of us are interested in doing those things and behaving in such a way that the Lord can say to you and say to me, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." He said the way we go to that, the way we come to that, is that we believe on Jesus Christ from our heart, from the seat of our spirit, our affections. The man on the inside, the woman on the inside, not the man that will die one day, not the person that will go to a grave one day, but the man, the woman that will live eternally, the spirit, the soul, the part of man that is created in the image of God. And that person repents and says, "I'm sorry, and I believe, and I love," not from just head knowledge, not from just environmental reasons that's around me, but no, from an experience. "I love you, Lord. I believe now." And he said righteousness comes when it enters in through our heart. Over in John, the 4th chapter, in the 23rd verse, he speaks about true worshipers. There's a lot of worship of God. There's a lot of so-called worship of God. There's a lot of worship of God that's unaccepted as worship to God. There's a lot of things being done in the name of the Lord that's unaccepted by Him. The Lord speaks about the accepted, the true worship, the worship that will merit God's attention. And tonight, let's be interested in that. You see, you're here tonight, and I'm here tonight. And we've come not to hear me, or not necessarily to sing songs, but we've come for the express purpose of worshiping God. We've come to collectively join our spirits and our prayers and our faith, our hearts together in a tribute and a worship to Jehovah. That's our expressed purpose for being here. And the vehicle or the means that takes is not so critical at all. It's the fact that the Lord is here to accept that. That is done in such a manner that the Lord Himself will say, "Yes, that's my people. And yes, they love me with all their heart. Yes, their worship to me comes up as an incense, sweet. It has the savor of my Son, Jesus, the Christ. It is acceptable to me because it is an outpouring of a heart and the trueness of their spirit, their single-mindedness." So this is what the Lord said in John 4:23. "The hour cometh, and now is," the gospel dispensation that was to be brought in, Christ was bringing it in, said this time is now upon us. It's not in the hand worship. It's not in ordinances. Brother Marty talked about last night about, you know, washing of the hands and those kind of things. It's no longer in that. Well, he speaks tonight of a heart worship, a worship of devotion of the spirit, of devotion of the mind, of devotion of the heart given over to God to completely set our affections on things above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. He said the time is coming, and now is, when the true worshiper, the one that is accepted, the one is worshiping the Lord in a manner that is in agreement with that which is accepted at the throne of grace, shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Spirit and the Word of God. The Spirit of man in harmony with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of man in harmony with the truth of God's Word. Anything less than that produces instability. Anything less than that produces a sorrow, but not godly sorrow, that worketh to repentance. There is a sorrow of this world. There is a worship of this world. There is a regret of this world. There is a knowledge that I'm wrong and feeling real bad about it. But it doesn't produce the godly sorrow that worketh repentance, not to be repented of again. I want to say to us today, if we're up and down in life's career, if we're having trouble becoming stable in the Lord, check our affections. Check our love. Check what we really want to do. Check what we really from our heart desire more than anything else. Because I think you'll find, when it comes down to it, we're going to follow after what's really important. What we really want, it'll win out. We may discipline ourselves for a long season, but what we really want and what we really desire will eventually win out. May the Lord help us to understand the Lord is looking, and the worship of God is not out of the flesh. It's not out of the will necessarily, but it is out of a union between God and man, whereby God is supreme in everything. There's no other God beside Him. There's no other idols of this world. We have settled it in our hearts and in our minds. As for me and my house, I am going to serve the Lord. The halting is over. The questioning is over. The wrangling in my mind between the flesh and the spirit. We heard last night again, it comes a time then they that are Christ, they have decided. And that decision is, I'm going to crucify the flesh with its affections and with its lust. That's important. In fact, that's the only way to become stable. That's the only way to find the true joy of salvation. He went on and said, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Thank the Lord tonight that God wants my spirit and your spirit, human spirit, that He breathed into us, the actuator of our actions in life, the spirit of man. He wants that to respond to the call of His spirit. He wants us to hear the joyful sound. He wants us to hear the appeal from the throne of grace. This is the way, walk ye in it. He wants us to hear the love that rings out from the cross. He wants us to hunger and thirst of the righteousness of the blood of Jesus Christ. God is asking me and you, wooing us with love, with affection, wooing us with pardon and forgiveness, with happiness and joy, stability. He's wooing my spirit to set everything I have on Him and in love with Him. God is looking from heaven above, if you will, with His spirit on mankind, talking to us. Love me. Keep my commandments. Love me and marry me. Become my bride. Let me take you away as my pure dove. Let me hold you. Let me love you. Let me be the lover of your soul. Let me be your protector, your husband. Let me be your provider. Let me be your joy. Let me be that which you find satisfaction and delight in. The Spirit of God comes to every one of us and speaks to our spirit and asks us, will you let me love you and will you love me? The true worshiper responds. The one that is accepted of God hears that, responds to that, and falls in love with God the Father through Jesus Christ. Oh, may we tonight set our affections on things above. Been out in a boat, probably most all of us have. And a little wave sometimes okay. But you can get out in a boat, and the waves can become so, the water can become so unstable, Not only is it unsafe, it can make you sick, it can make you long for something else. Tonight, how's the water of your life? How's the vessel of your ship reacting? Do you long for something better, more stable, more secure? Do you long for something that will keep you and you'll have peace and joy and love that's abiding? The Spirit of God is wooing us tonight and saying, love me with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and all your spirit. When I think about Christ's expectations, this thought came to my mind. That Christ demands of us a decision. He requires that of us. For Him to be able to abide, for Him to be able to effectively work with us and in us, for Him to generously be able to provide all the things that pertain to life and godliness, God expects you and me and requires of us a decision. He's looking to us to make a choice. And as we make the choice that, Lord, I'm going to love you, I'm going to serve you, all the authority of heaven, all the things of God, all the beauties and the riches of salvation belong to that individual. Tonight, let's look to the Lord. Let's make that decision. Let's allow the Lord to calm the unstable waters of our life, to heal marriages, to heal homes, to heal the sin that people have allowed to come in their life, to heal the tearing between God and the world and the flesh, to come and bind up the broken hearts, to people can halt between faith in God and grief and hurt and disappointments, and all those things can war and raise up their heads and beat their chest and make a terrible resounding noise in our hearts and in our emotions. And the Lord is wanting us to hear Him above all the din of confusion, the din of sectism, the din that happens to man when life itself just catches up with us, when the sickness comes, the disappointment comes, when the upheavals of life and the earthquakes erupt without any prediction, without being predicted at all, and all of a sudden it's there. God wants us to have a stability, that we not run this way and run that way and be running into things and saying things and acting in unseemly ways. The Lord wants us to have an abiding stability, an abiding comfort, abiding power, that when those things do happen, I'm not thrown out of kilter. That my ship doesn't start running into rocks. That my life does not start running off the edge of cliffs. But there's a stability in our life. It's by serving and putting God first, making it settled before the earthquake comes along. When the earthquake comes, when the tornado hits, if we haven't got it settled, and that tornado and earthquake, please let your mind go, because it can be absolutely anything. That's not a good time then to start saying, now let me calculate what I'm going to do. You know what you're going to do? You're going to respond to the flesh. That's going to be the very thing that happens to us. All man will do that. But if we've got it settled, if we set our affections on the heaven and God above, then that Spirit in us that occupies us witnesses and leads our spirit. So the actions then are not guided by the flesh, but they're guided by the Spirit of the Lord that dwells in us. Then we can make those spontaneous, it seems like, decisions, but we won't regret them. There won't be condemnation, and there won't be guilt. There's therefore now no condemnation to those who love the Lord, to those who serve Him, and to those who walk after His Spirit. But we need to receive the Spirit. We need to receive this love. We need to receive, I believe John, in 1 John wrote about it as perfect love. And it has the ability to cast out those things that occupy and rule and dominate the flesh. He used fear as an example. It has the power to overcome the earthquake and the disappointment and the hurt feelings and the irritations and the temptations of life. I'm glad tonight for that. Christ is asking us to make a decision. In Matthew 10, Matthew 10:34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against the father, his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. The word of the Lord into and enter into. The Lord brought down to you and me through Christ, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among men, dwelt among us. He wants to enter into us. The Lord is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. He knows our affections. He knows our purpose. He knows our yeas and our nays, and He knows how true we are in them. He knows when we say, I want to serve Him, and yet deep down we're hungering after this world. He knows when our choices are made out of a deep concern and a devoted love to Him in the Spirit of God, and when our choices are made to serve Him from just the pressures of those that are around us, or because, well, that's the way I've always been taught. God knows the heart. He knows the affections of the heart. And He said He came to bring that sword to awaken us, to recognize there are foes against righteousness. And there, He spoke about family members here, and I certainly agree with that. But I'm thinking this, that the foes of righteousness become very personal. They become very personal to you, and they become extremely personal to me. And they're not necessarily people, but they're still very personal. My appetites, my rights, those things that appeal to me in the flesh. And the Lord said to us that He came to establish a dividing line and a standard. In the book of Amos, the Lord said He would establish a plumb line, and that plumb line, He would not go back that way again. The truth of God endureth forever. It's been established in the Bible. It's been established by Christ. It has become the plumb line. It has become the sword. It has become that that establishes righteousness in the earth today. And the Lord said, lovest thou me more than these. We must come to a place then that this truth that has come down to earth becomes not just rules, but it becomes life. That it becomes direction and safety, and purpose, and well-being. It becomes the very criteria for which I want to establish my life on. He said those things that you and me have placed our security in, and they hadn't worked. We want to recognize them tonight as our foes. You've placed your security in your abilities, your independence, your youth. You've allowed yourself to be guided by strengths or securities that never brought the peace. A man can base his relationship with his wife based on Well, God said that I'm the head of the wife, therefore I've got to be that, and have no inkling of what it means to be that. And he's wondering, why is it not working? Because he's approached it from a fleshly standpoint, from a head knowledge, instead of allowing the Lord to come in and divide asunder and separate his fleshly thoughts from the thoughts of the divine, from thoughts of true love. The Lord wants it to be that way with the wife and with the children and in the home. God wants to come down and take away the flesh of man, circumcise the flesh, do away with it, that you and I might have peace, that you and I might have the blessings of the Lord as a cheerfulness of our countenance, a joy of our life, something that we are happy to do, enthused to do, enjoying doing. Going to heaven, as Psalm said, and enjoying the trip. Not just having to do it to get to heaven, but enjoying doing it as I go. The Lord today said, you've got to have something real special in you, though. You've got to love me more than anything else. If you're double-minded, if you're halting between two opinions, you're always going to be coming to crossroads. You're always going to be coming to places that upset you and cause tumult and terror in your life. And you're going to wind up, consequently, making some bad choices. But the Spirit of God has been promised to us to lead us into all truth. But it comes by me setting my affections on Him. He said if we don't take up our cross, if we don't love Him, if we refuse to follow Him, we're not worthy of Him. That's one of the great dangers of being double-minded. Because maybe today we serve the Lord. Today we say no to wrong. Today we do that which is right. But tomorrow is another day. And the circumstances change. And another thing comes along and we don't respond. We don't respond rightly. We succumb to temptation. We behave ourselves unseemly. Then, he said, if we have not taken our cross, and if we're not truly following Him out of love, we're not worthy of Him. A double-mindedness. Our affections set in, attempting to set our affections in two places, disqualifies us from being able to follow the Lord. It's going to forbid me from fully taking the cross. I can know I ought to do it, and I can really try to do it in a lot of ways. And I can discipline my flesh. Every one of us can do that in certain areas. But if I'm double-minded, if I have not got a heart interest in serving God, if I have not truly given myself over unequivocally to serve the Lord with all my heart, soul, mind, and body. Consequently, I'm going to have that double standard. Therefore, then, the cross cannot be applicable to me because there's places that I will not take the cross. There were places I'll have that I will not apply the cross. And Christ said, unless we take our cross and follow Him, we're not worthy of Him. Do you have things in your life, in our life today, that the cross needs to be applied to? Do you know that? Do you know there's areas that are not where God wants it to be? That they are a product of selfishness, of pride. They are a product of that little man on the inside jumping up and saying, it's me, it's me, it's me, my rights. I want to do what I want to do. You can't tell me what to do. And yet there's a part of you that's saying, oh, I want to love the Lord. I want to serve the Lord. I know I ought to serve the Lord. I truly want to go to heaven. But you're struggling up and down and unable to fully consecrate and find the real joy that forgiveness is to bring, that repentance works a work, a godly sorrow not to be repented of again. I want you to check our affections tonight. Check our love. Who do we love supremely above everything? And then look and see. Are you withholding the cross? Are you failing to take the cross? We have to love the Lord to take the cross. We cannot take the cross to deny the self out of fear. That's flesh. We cannot take the cross out of a set of rules. That's the law. And it wasn't able. Men wanted to, but they couldn't. We cannot take the cross out of coercion or the preacher telling you. We take the cross because we love the one who hands it to us. We take the cross because we love what was accomplished there. We take the cross because we fully are persuaded that the cross and the things that you and me put on the cross are the things that should have been on there a long time ago. And by loving the Lord, serving the Lord, giving ourselves totally over to Him, God's way is best. And it produces then what I really want. Happiness, joy, stability. It produces righteousness and right standing with God. It enrolls my name and yours in the book of life. By loving the Lord, we're able to take the cross. And we're able to put on the cross not just our hand or our feet. Not just things that we don't have problems with. But we're able to take life's trials and disappointments and angers, fleshly interest and fleshly desires, and nail them also there. We're also then able not only to crucify those things that never bothered me anyway, but we're able to go and say, Lord, not just part, but everything I am, all that I am. For Lord, you see my trials, you see my frustrations, you see my temptations, and you see my weaknesses. You see my appetites. You see those things that I think I know more than anybody else, including you. Lord, I apply them and put them on the cross. And I don't know of any other way of doing that than by loving Him. Because in loving Him, then we trust Him. And in trusting Him, it abolishes the fear and the what ifs. Now I can come to the Lord out of a heart devoted, settled in my mind, settled in my affections. Lord, I want to serve you without any reservations because I trust you. And now I give myself to you because I trust you. I give myself to you because it's the right thing, but it's also the safest and the best and the proper thing. And in so doing, then, we find peace to our soul. Christ came first to dissect the flesh from the spirit, then to establish peace in the heart. The Lord knows tonight you and me will have trouble as long as we're double-minded, as long as we're halting between two or more, as long as you and me are unsettled in our mind. The Lord knows you and me are going to have troubles. And I might say troubles galore. So He sent a sword. He sent His word. And that word parts down into every man's heart what he really needs to do. And it will dissect and it will enter into our lives. And if we'll respond to it, God will heal us. God will sever. With our cooperation and our will, God will sever from us those doubts and those things that hold me back from being truly immersed in Jesus Christ. But I've got to love Him. I've got to allow that to happen in my life. He said, if we don't do that, we're not worthy of it. That has strong implications. Because I say for us tonight, every one of us, want Him to say, enter in to the joys of the Lord. Every one of us want that. Probably every one of us are counting on that. Probably every one of us tonight are counting on God saying that to us. And if we're not right where He can, probably everybody here tonight is saying, but I'm going to get right. Just give me time. It's very important that you and me walk worthy of our vocation. Because in walking worthy, then He will accept us into His kingdom tonight, but also into the eternal kingdom. But we've got to do something. We've got to look at life. We've got to look at the things we cater to. And we've got to ask ourselves a question. Do I love Jesus more than these? The things I'm holding on to and won't turn loose of, they're burning my hand, they're hurting my family, they're causing me to be unhappy. And sometimes don't we get a death grip on those kind of things? And we think, if I turn loose of that, what will I do? Folks, it's time tonight to sever. Let the Word of God sever everything that would separate us from loving God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and body. You pray for me.